iRacing fans, especially the 802 Cup Series. It's another Monday night, day after race day. I hope everybody out there has recovered. I know after last night's race, 2 hours at Atlanta, I call that 2 hours of white-knuckle racing. There were quite a few cautions, but it didn't feel like it. And we'll talk about that as we get going. This is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreiss. This edition is the 802 Cup Series Podcast. We're in Season 3, Week 3. Last night we raced Atlanta, and coming up this week, we are racing Richmond. If you're interested in joining the 802 Cup Series, please, please, we are recruiting all season long, doing something unusual this season. Normally, it's 4 or 5 recruiting races, but it's summertime, and people are in, people are out, so we just decided to take a more casual approach for Season 3 and make it a recruiting season. And that way, you get to know how we race. We get to know how you race. And please look us up on iRacing under 802 Cup Series. Ask for an invite. You want to find out more about us? Hey, listen to this podcast. It's live on twitch.tv/Greg Dreiss. Also uploaded later to Anchor, Spotify, and also the video will also go up to YouTube. We have a Facebook page. It's the 802 iRacing Leagues on Facebook. You can send a message to the page admin there and say, hey, I want to join. So we race next-gen cup cars, fixed sets, usually 13 or 14-week season. Lots of prize money coming up Season 4, over $1,000 in prize money. Season 2, I think we had a little bit over $700, all kinds of good stuff. We are broadcast on Signature Esports. He was away this weekend at Atlanta, and he will be back with us this weekend at Richmond. Signature Esports with Jason. Great job that he does there for us. We got a lot of history with Jason going back to a couple other leagues. And it's just like a bunch of good guys racing. We're competitive. We just like to have fun. Doesn't matter how fast you are, how slow you are, as long as you like to get out there and race. Well, we have a special guest tonight that we like to have a driver spotlight each week, and our guest tonight is Johnny Barker, who won last night at Atlanta, in which is a pretty intense race. Johnny Barker drives car number 6 for Wolfpack Racing, and we'd like to say welcome, Johnny. How you doing, Johnny?
No, I'm doing fine. How are y'all?
I'm doing well. We're talking about the heat there. You said your heat index down there in Georgia was, what, 110 today, 115?
No, yeah, Friday, I think it was like 115. It's horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I work outside like you do, and we get maybe up here in the Albany, New York area, if we get 13 or 15 days over 90 degrees and heat index above 95, about half that many, it's tough when you're not used to it. How do you stay not fainting in the heat like that? What's your workday change as compared to a spring day? How do you handle it?
A bunch of Gatorade. Bio lights, that seems to help a lot. But
well, that's good.
Yeah, it's just terrible. I mean, you can't work in the middle of the day. I mean, you got to take a lot of breaks and get back in air conditioning. It's terrible.
Yeah. So you beginning to see the benefits of the siesta from south of the border, and then those hot climates from, what, 11 to 2, where they just take a really long lunch and then a long nap afterwards, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot of people that would like a work schedule like that. So tell me some of your background there. When did you first get bitten by the race bug?
Oh, man, my dad always pitted for one of our good friends, Wally, and the racetrack from my house has always been within 15-20 minutes of Golden Isle Speedway. Then we had Waycross Motor Speedway, so I mean, from the time I can remember, Fridays and Saturday nights, we was right here around the house.
Gotcha. It was a dirt track. And who was your influence?
What was that? It broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was your influence that got you interested in racing at that young age?
Well, like I said, my dad's friend, Wally, we used to go over there and like I said, ever since I can remember, I'd go over there and they working on the car and I'm sitting in the car like I'm driving.
Of course.
And going out there every Friday and Saturday and helping. And then finally, my dad didn't ever really want me to get in a car. And that same guy we always helped, Wally, he finally talked my dad into buying me a car. And when I turned 15 and I started racing, and it was over from there.
What series were you first racing in?
They called them hobby stocks.
Okay.
I had a 78 Nova was when I started, and I run that and was real competitive, and I'll probably run that for 5-6 years.
Wow.
And then started having kids, and the kids took the hobby out, so I got out of it for a while, and once they started getting a little bigger, I got back in it, and I'd say I raced another maybe 10, 12 years, started having some back problems and all, and that kind of ended all that.
So you said a 78 Nova, that was the first car that I almost bought. I made the mistake of taking my dad with me car shopping the first time. I had a really good job in high school, and I found this 70, and it was 1980. I found the 78 Nova for $2,400, and I had the money in the bank. And he just did not like the car. He started telling me I had to get a 4-door car in case I went on a double date. And I'm like, Dad, you don't understand. I don't have a girlfriend, and this is not the 1950s. No girl is even going to go on a single date with me with a 4-door car. I think it was more the fact that it was a 2-door Nova, wasn't an SS, but he saw the mag wheels in my head spinning around. He saw the stereo. He saw the racing stripes, and he says, "Nope, I think you need a 4-door car." So when he said 78 Nova, that really, really struck a bone there. So have you been, after you gave up racing because of back problems, et cetera, and family getting in the way, have you ever had an itch to get back in a car?
Not really. From time to time, I go out there. I'm like, man, I know I can still do this. I think it was, I'd say my last time I run, well, full season I run was 2 years ago, and I won the points championship there at Golden Isle Speedway. And I was like, well, I'm going to end it on a good note. And
there you go.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah, don't blame you there. Did you hear Tony Stewart and his dad both won whatever they were driving about a month ago? It wasn't at his track in Ohio, but it was at another Ohio track. He won the feature, and Tony Stewart's dad won the Legends feature. Tony Stewart's father is 85 years old, and he spun circles around the young kids out there in the Legends.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was amazing.
Yep, that's pretty cool. So how long have you been on iRacing, and how did you come across iRacing?
I'd say I was on iRacing maybe 2.5-3 years now. I think I joined with y'all, the Joe Sixpack, y'all's last season is when I joined, and I just got it right before that. I went to tell my buddy how I was wanting to do something, you know, and he's like, well, I never even heard of iRacing.
Right.
He's like, come over to the house. I got this iRacing. I was like, what is that? So anyhow, I get over there and get on it, and I'm like, oh, I got to buy me one of these.
Exactly. The way I first found out about iRacing was when my son Sam, he asked me for my credit card. I go, for what? He goes, there's this racing game I want to play. And you got to be 13. I think he was like 11 or 12. So I looked at it. And like, yeah, okay. And he saved up his allowance, and he was borrowing my little laptop, and he had the wheel that you attach to the dining room table, and basically what looked like the pedals. They kind of looked like one of those old folks bicycle things that you play with underneath the table while you're eating. And I'm like, what is that? He goes, it's iRacing. I'm like, okay, whatever. So then start getting these emails from iRacing that my account is suspended. And I'm like, Sam, what's this about? I don't even on iRacing. He goes, oh, some guy ran me off in a race, and then I kind of went after him the next couple days and knocked him off the road. So I'm like, oh, okay. So no iRacing for you for 6 weeks. So that ended that. I've been on about 7 years, and Sam's been on about 9. And when I got into it, I just, like you said, I saw it. We built a little rig downstairs. Actually, we were still racing on a laptop sitting on the floor. And I said, well, this ain't any fun. So we bought an open wheeler setup, you know, with the stand for the wheel and the seat and stuff like that. And it was still on the floor. So then we built the platform. Then we got a bigger TV. And then, you know, you've seen the pictures of the rig that I put up now. So there's no more room to put anything in there. So I got it. Just really loved it. So in iRacing, what's your favorite series to drive in?
Next gen.
Do you ever race any others?
I've run the trucks a little bit.
Yeah.
I do like the trucks at the super speedways.
Yep.
But when I got on here to iRacing, I didn't know nothing about it. And only thing I looked up and I seen how you can advance, and, you know, I'm like rookie. I'm like, man, I'm wanting to move up.
It's hard to get out of rookie class.
So here I go. I'm racing nonstop every day, yep, trying to just stay out of wrecks to get my rating and,
yep,
I mean, safety rating and all up. And
uh-huh,
I moved up fairly quick. So I know some people, I reckon they run like the whole season before they try to move up, but I was just riding, just staying out of wrecks, and
yeah,
I mean, I was steady moving up, so it didn't take me no time at all. When I was to the Class A, and tried to run some series races, and you know how that goes.
Yep.
Just a wreck fest.
Pretty much anymore, especially when all the new, hopefully anybody that joined 3 years ago during COVID has taken the time to, you know, learn how to drive and then learn the racecraft, because it took me probably about a year to get out of rookie class, because I said it was almost impossible to get out. And then I started looking online and seeing, well, don't do it that way. Run the time trials and at least get to D class. Otherwise, you'll never get out of rookie class.
Right. And that's what I did, some of them. And like I said, a bunch of the races, I just kind of rode in the back, didn't really mm-hmm. care where I finished, just
yep,
getting my safety rating up. And like I said, it moved me up pretty fast that way. Then, like I said, I got tired of series racing. I'm like, I'm going to find me a leading.
Uh-huh.
And the first one I popped when I joined the, whatever it was, I seen the Joe Six Pack. I'm like, let me try this. And y'all took me right in, and
yep,
I loved it.
Yeah, it's fun. We had a good time, and it got to be too much too quick with a lot of stuff going on. And instead of reaching out for help, I just shut everything down, which I shouldn't have done. But we got some good people running it now with Rob and Dave and all the admins and everybody. So it's, I'm glad they picked up the ball with it, and it's good to be back. And it's just a lot of fun. So what was your impression of Atlanta last night?
Oh, man, it was we practiced all week long. I mean,
uh-huh,
probably every night for at least, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I felt pretty good going in. And that last run, I don't know, it was – the car just didn't seem quite as good as it felt all week.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it was good.
Yeah. Did it seem like we had some pretty good green lap stretches there? But looking at the race recap, there were 12 cautions in the 140 laps. So it just didn't seem to me like there were that many cautions. Well, I mean, we had one comp caution, so you take that out, there was 11. But for a tough track like that, I don't think that's a ridiculous number of cautions.
No, I didn't think so neither. I think Kentucky, I was like, there's no way, you know, during the week when we was practicing, I was
yep,
like, there's no way we're going to run this full 60 laps without a caution. And I was proved wrong.
Yeah, we ran the whole
last night after practicing all week. I'm like, this is just going to be a disaster with caution. and like you said, it wasn't.
Yeah. I think we had like 40 some odd laps under caution. Yeah, it's like 25% of the race. And if you look at, I mean, look at Pocono last night, they were probably 20% of the laps under caution down there. What was your strategy for Atlanta last night besides practicing every night? And I've got to emphasize that practice, because going all the way back to the beginning days of the Joe Sixpack Racing League, the guys who showed up for practice, we ran practices on Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, and then Saturday I put up like a 5-hour practice and then a 2-hour practice on Sunday morning. The drivers who showed up to practice, whether they were veteran expert drivers or rookies, like kind of like I was, they just performed better in the race on Sunday. Does that sound legit?
Oh yeah, totally accurate. And I know it's hard to get on there and practice every night or make every Friday practice race, but I mean it does make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because I was like that. I mean, last year I really started practicing more, but prior to that, I would just jump on Sundays, you know, and where I finished is where I finished. And I started practicing more, and you can definitely tell it's helping.
Yeah. I had never raced on old Atlanta before yesterday, and I did put in, I mean, not as much like as you guys did, but I probably did, I want to say, a good three and a half hours of practice during the week and Tuesday night, and then a lot of it on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And you got to practice on Atlanta, especially on the old track, because it is, you think Kentucky's rough coming out of turn two and turn four. Atlanta is, there's even a more tighter line you got to run. The margin of error is very, very slim, because if you don't hit it right, you're going to hit the outside wall, or you're just going to do a left turn right into the inside wall. And it took me a long time to get my confidence up. And once we got going, I was actually passing people last night, and I'm going, wow, this is something I never do. I usually just race in the back, wait for someone to make a mistake, and then pass them that way. But I was actually able to pass cars last night, and it felt good. And I got to say that the practice is definitely an asset there.
Oh yeah, and like you said, it was definitely terrible. That last run with Brandon and Frank right there, man, I probably wrecked three times without actually wrecking. it was so loose. I was, you know, just trying to run hard enough to save my tires to stay ahead of them. But they was just, both of them was fast last night. Oh, Dave was fast.
Yes, I think everybody up front was pretty fast last night. What do you think of Rob running 75 laps before he changed tires, and then he didn't show much wear at all, but he was kind of running towards the back most of the first half, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was our plan. I pitted on lap. First time I took tires was lap 85.
Oh, wow.
I think, but now, you know, that first run, I was turning like 33.
Yeah.
Second lap. So,
yep.
And our plan was to have an extra set of tires if the caution come out. And I ended up using all my sets, so it worked out.
Yep. I pitted right at the comp caution. And then my plan was to go no later than like lap 110 for the next one. And so I pitted, I was just getting ready to pit, and I should have done it on like lap 106. Cause that was the first wreck I was in. And unfortunately I think I took out, Jason Wiley on that one. Cause it just got the tires so loose because I was running pretty fast, had the 45 laps on them. Because I was figuring, you know, if you divide it evenly, it's every 46 laps, but you got to play around with it like that. And then what happened then? Then I went back out, back towards P15, 15, came back up to the top, and then around lap 120, somebody hit Rob. Rob came into me, and I was almost causing other wrecks on the track because I was trying to get off the track, but my steering broke. I was turning left. The car was going right, so somehow I managed to limp into the pits and do my final quick repair there. My last set of tires I did put on, I want to say on lap 125-ish, something like that. So the last 15, 20 laps, I had fresh tires, but it was tough. I got two speeding penalties on the comp caution. I came in perfectly clean, exited too fast. I was in like fifth place then, got sent to the back when I wrecked the first time, sent to the back when I wrecked the second time, and somehow managed to get back up and finish P7. And if I finish that way, I felt like I won the race. So back and forth, and said hi to all the drivers from P19 all the way up to P1 last night.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun race. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you talk about your team there, Wolfpack Racing. How did you get involved with them?
I'm pretty sure I can't remember the guy's name, and that was back when we were still running under the Joe Sixpack. Me, Rob, and him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I cannot remember his name, but anyhow, we made the Wolfpack Racing team together, and I think he did something, and well, he got in trouble and got booted. So then it was just me and Rob, and I'm pretty sure you come over with us for a little bit.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So then this year, or no, last year was first year. We got, I think, Dave with us and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we work good together.
Yeah, you do.
I'm sorry, I got choked up again. But yeah, we do a lot of practice, and it seems like when you got a team like we got, you know, we go to, I think it was Kentucky. We went to Kentucky, and I was telling Rob, I'm like, there's no possible way I'm going to be in contention for anything. I mean, I just literally could not get around that place.
Yeah, it's a hard track.
And Rob's like, you just follow me, do this, do that. And it took a couple nights, but like I said, by the end of the week, I was excited, ready to go. I was like, yeah, I got a chance at this now.
There you go.
And then Atlanta, I started off, I mean, as soon as we started practicing, I felt good and was fast. And mm-hmm. Rob struggled for the first couple nights, and then he got back good. So teams, I mean, is everything.
Yeah. So if you could explain in a couple words the difference between racing with a team in a league versus racing solo, how would you describe that?
Really and honestly, solo, you're in trouble. I mean, I don't know other way. I mean, I've run solo, and it's, yep. You get out there and you try to run your best you can, and you don't have no one to, you know, tell you. And I've done it for a while running solo, mm-hmm. and, you know, I try to look on the internet or whatever, and you try to find lines, but it's just not the same when you got someone there that can break it down exactly what they're doing, and then you do it, and you're like, oh, okay, that does work.
So let's say you got a team like you guys have or like I have. When we get back to the fall, and you get guys that are running up front and guys that are running in the back, how does that change your team strategy? You try to build the guys up in the back or show them some tricks to maybe get up there, or how does that work when you have guys, your team is spread all over the pack?
Not sounding cocky, but honestly, for the most part, we either gonna, you know, we all run pretty much the same. So, I mean, if mm-hmm. I would say if one of us is running in the back, by not on purpose, then we probably all are going to be running in the back.
All right. So, that's a good point. That makes sense.
I mean, we share. So, I mean, we share everything and
yeah.
work with each other. So, I mean, it's.
So do you guys work without giving away your secrets, which we're trying to get out of you? do you go into the race with a plan that you come up with during practice, and how often and if does it get changed because of race conditions once the green flag drops?
We try to have a plan on, you know, when we're going to pit and how we're going to run safe tires or, you know, going to run hard. Like this week, it kind of got changed because of the cautions coming out.
Right.
My plan was I was going to run to lap 85 and pit under green. I was pitting at lap 85 regardless if it was green, caution, whatever. And we had them few cautions right there around there. So I told Rob, I'm like, yeah, we got to stay out a little longer, which he had got in a little wreck and was a couple laps down, so that kind of changed his strategy too. So yeah, it does. Sometimes you just got to make changes during the race.
And you guys communicate them when you feel the need to change?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it certainly makes sense. And I know that last season on the Joe Sixpack Racing team, that's what we were doing. You are listening to the Sim Racing Podcast with Greg Dreis. This is the 802 Cup Series edition. My guest tonight is Johnny Barker. He drives car number 6 for Wolfpack Racing. He was the winner last night at Atlanta. He's also the points leader for Season 3. Season 3 is our laid-back summer season. We're calling it the recruiting season. If you want to join the 802 Cup Series, please look us up on iRacing under 802 Cup Series. Click Ask for invitation, jump up and down, wave your hands, and one of the admins will get in contact with you. And we also have a very active Discord page. We have the weekly podcast broadcast. We have $1,000 in prizes for Season 4. Season 3, we're giving out a few $5 racing credits here and there, courtesy of Riptide Radio. Riptide Radio is Carolina Shag, which is basically Carolina beach music. It's not one genre. It's a little bit of swing, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of Motown, kind of like that. Another way to do Margaritaville, I guess you could say. I listen to the similar music up here when I'm out on my little outside patio. It's great stuff. Want to thank Jeff Barefoot, driver of car number 9 for Wolfpack Racing Team, for chipping in the $5 racing credit for a random driver every single week. We also have a Facebook page that is the 802 iRacing Leagues on Facebook. You can look us up on there and send a message to the admin and say, hey, I want to race. We are racing this weekend at Richmond, 6:45. The practice session opens, 5 minutes of qualifying and green flag at or around 7:10. We run the next-gen cup cars, fixed sets, changing the fuel and such like that in the comp caution for this upcoming race. We generally have 2 quick fixes. So it's a laid-back competitive league, and we are recruiting for the summer. So let's take a look at Atlanta from last week, actually from last night. It was 140 laps. We did competition caution and green-white checker. We ended up doing 144 laps. There were 12 cautions, 48 laps under caution. Strength of field was 1276, 11 lead changes. So pretty much every 13, 14 laps, there was a new leader. And that makes for some exciting racing. Our league is broadcast on Signature Esports. Jason had a commitment yesterday, but he will be back with us at Richmond this upcoming weekend. It's also a special weekend called Toontown, which we'll talk about as well. I'd like to thank one of my sponsors for the Joe Sixpack Racing team, Dirtbag Clothing. It's a great line of clothing, and I love their slogan, Dirtbag Clothing, wear it till it stinks. The results from Atlanta last night, our special guest, Johnny Barker, was the winner last night. And just let me get to that page here. He drives the car number 6. He started first and ended first. Dave Lomaga, driver car number 28. He started in P6, and he finished in second place last night. Frank Zingen, car number 62, qualified 16th. He rounded out the podium in P3. Cole Jarrett in fourth place. He drives a car number 88. He qualified 11th. Kenny Real was up front most of the night last night. He finished in P5. He drives car number 4. He qualified 4th. Rob Lowell in P6, driver of the car number 21, qualified 15th. Yours truly finished 7th. Yippee yahoo, if I finish in the top 10, to me that's a win. I drive the car number 64, sponsored by the Sim Racing Podcast, and I qualified 13th. P8 goes to Brian Toler, a new driver with us this season. He drives car number 38, finished 8th, qualified 8th. Good strong run. Brandon Garand finished in P9, drives car number 4. He qualified 2nd. Jeff Barefoot, who brings us Riptide Radio, our season sponsor, finished in P10, drives a car number 9. He's the guy that I'm always driving out there with, whether I'm in the front, up back, or in the middle. Jeff is no further than a couple cars away. Jeff qualified in P12. P11 goes to Nick Larson, driver of car number 82, and he qualified P3. And a new driver who came out Tuesday night asking a bunch of questions that I could not answer because I'm no expert, Arabia Clayton 3, driver car number 30. He finished P12. Good, strong race for him. He qualified P10. Rounding out the 20 drivers from last night, David Palmer 6. He drives car number 41. He ended up in P13. Dwayne McMahon drives car number 80. He's another new driver with us. He finished P15. Justin Mullins, too, driver of car 17, finished P15. P16, Christopher Muis drives car number 99. Car 17, Dennis Dameron drives car number 48. Of the 12 cautions last night, or whatever the number was, he got 7 or 8 of the lucky dogs. And somebody was trying to figure out how to count the lucky dogs and give him the lucky dog award, and he was kind of joking, please give it to somebody else. Kyle Hackett drives car number 18. He finished in 18th last night. Car number 13, Jason Wiley. All because of me, instead of pitting on lap 105 or so like I wanted, I went a couple acts too long and got into a wreck with him. He finished P19. Dustin Coggan, driver of car number 44. He finished in P20. After week 3, our points leader is our special guest tonight, Johnny Barker, with 96 points, 2 wins, with an average finish of 1. Now, Johnny, your other win was last week in Kentucky, correct?
Yep. Yep. One to pull at Kentucky and one to race, and then
there you go.
Done it again this weekend.
Darn you! Like I said in practice the other night, when I put up a good time and nobody caught it for like what was 7 or 8 laps, and all of a sudden you're beating me by a quarter point. Oh, well. But we both admitted that if you tried to go too fast, we were both wrecking, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because when I'm out practicing, I want to burn the rubber off the cars and go fast, but sooner or later you got to realize you got to practice for the long green flag runs, right?
Right. Yeah, I get in that sometimes where I just go out there and just trying to go fast, and most of the time I realize if I just go out there and just try to run laps, I end up running faster than when I'm trying to run fast.
Exactly. That's what I did yesterday, because I was 30 or 40 laps into a run, and then all of a sudden the times are better than when I was going out and crashing after 2 just to try to drive fast. So something to be said for setting yourself a rhythm and just going with it, I guess.
Definitely.
Okay, continuing with points leaders after week 3, Rob Lowell has 89 points, 1 win, average start of 6. Dave Lomaga in third place, kind of looks like the podium last night almost. He's got 86 points, no wins, average start of 4th. Fourth place is Kenny Real with 84 points. Cole Jarrett is in fifth with 80 points. He's tied with Jason Wiley with 80 points. Sixth place is Dustin Coggan with 78 points. His average start is 4th. Right behind him is Brandon Guerin with 76 points, average start of 2nd. He's in P7. P8 is Jeff Barefoot with 75 points, average start of 11th. Frank Zingin and myself are tied at 74. He gets the edge because he average qualifies 12th, and I qualify average 13th. And rounding out the league is Nick Larson with 69 points, Dwayne McMahon with 68 points, Ty Tafford with 65, Dennis Dameron with 63, David Palmer 6 with 59. He's tied with Justin Mullins 2 at 59, Eli Raposa at 58 points, Kyle Hackett with 55, Chris Max with 49, Brian Toller with 37, Ryan Hatch 2 with 34, tied with Brent Benedict at 34, and Arabia Clayton 3 at 32. So we talked about teamwork and practicing, and you got it from the expert's mouth, Johnny, and you got it from me, how important it is to join a team. If you are in the league and not with a team, start one of your own or hook up with one. Joe Sixpack Racing is recruiting for summer and the fall league. You want to join a team, you need 10 to start your own. Like we said, shout it out on our Discord channel, either on the team's channel or general chat. Say, hey, I'm looking to join a team. Hey, I want to start a team. Get in touch with Rob. He runs the Discord. He can set you up with your own team channel, et cetera, like that. I also encourage you to get your own channel off of Discord so you can go off the 802 Discord channel and start your own so you can use that for strategy and practices and not have to worry about people eavesdropping on you. Because I remember one of the 802, or back in the Joe Sixpack days, there were a couple, all the admins had like admin duties on the Discord channel. And one of the guys said, I don't like those guys being able to drop in. I says, well, they're admins on the channel, so they can go into any channel they want, but they don't go into the team channel. So I encourage teams to get their own channel outside the league channel. Just, you know, so you can have your own practices and strategy that way. The 802 Cup Series is sponsored by Riptide Radio for the Season 3 sponsor. Riptide Radio is Carolina Shag music. It's beach music. It's a way of life, as Jeff Barefoot would like to say. Coming up week 4, we will be at Richmond Raceway, and that's a special week for us that started several seasons back in the old league. We do something called Toontown. Paint your car in your favorite cartoon scheme. It can be a cereal box cartoon, a comic book, a movie, anything, TV show, even Sesame Street. Last year, I think I did one just to get a reaction and make people laugh. I did Teletubbies, and then somebody said, I'm not getting near you. And I go, that's the whole idea. Also like to thank DTL Customs Design and Graphics. That's Dave LaMaga. He's one of the league's leading drivers. He does all our promotional graphics work, and also for Throwback Week, does designs for any driver for the entire week. He'll put up, if there's 20 guys in the league, he'll put up 20 designs, get your design and go race. So it's Toontown. Paint your car in your favorite scheme. So Johnny, what are you thinking about Richmond for this weekend? Any general thoughts and ideas or deep dark secrets you want to share?
Practice. I got home today and
yeah,
I don't know, we run maybe 100 laps or so. It's tough.
It is a tough track.
To me, it was tougher than Atlanta.
Oh, wow. How so?
Just seemed like, I mean, not so much that the tires, when you come in and check the percentages on them, they wasn't like terrible, but you just, you lose grip bad.
Yeah.
Or at least I was. So I got a lot of practice to do.
Yeah. Richmond and Delaware have been a couple tough tracks for me. How quickly would you say do the tires wear out? How quickly do they decay if you're just not running hard, but just, you know, out there trying to keep up with everybody?
I noticed a good fall off, I'd say around 45, 50.
Oh, so that's actually a pretty good run then, isn't it?
Yeah, but I was trying to save tires the best I could, and I just was losing grip. Like I said, the percentages when I went into pits, the percentages wasn't bad, but it's just like I lost grip on the front. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
maybe I was doing something wrong. I don't know.
Would you say your speed was dropping like a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, or what was the number?
I really don't know the exact number. I could tell how much I was having to lift and letting it roll through the center. It was a lot.
Okay. Well, I just looked at the number of race laps this week. Yeah, we are going to have to save. It's 170 laps. So it might be a little shorter than Atlanta, but it's still 170 times you got to go around four turns.
Right. That's what I was looking at. I said 170 laps here. You're gonna have to take care of your tires for sure.
Yeah, that's 680 turns. yeah. So it could be a quarter mile track, but if it's 680 turns at 680 times, your tires are, they're going to take a beating.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this weekend, Richmond Raceway broadcast on Signature Esports, brought to you by Riptide Radio. Session opens 6:45 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, July 30th. Practice length is 25 minutes. Qualifying length is 5 minutes. And for new drivers signing up, you do have to attempt to qualify. You can't just push that ready-to-race button. So you do have to qualify. And, of course, if you hit the wall and get canceled like that, that's taken into account. And race laps are 170 laps at Richmond. Fast repairs are two. Fuel is changing. We're doing 60% fuel this week. Tire changes, two. So that's not two sets of tires, it's two changes. So you got one that you start with and then two in the pit box. And for setups, for practicing this weekend or during the week, the qualifying and race setup when you set your car up is richmond.sto. That's the setup, richmond.sto. So when you're out there practicing, make sure it's fixed setup, richmond.sto, so you can get the feel for the track. It's also a night race. So make sure when you're practicing this weekend or for the weekend that you're practicing with the night setting at 9:18 p.m. start, 76 degree temperature, 55% humidity, and wind out of the north at 2. Very important that you get those numbers correct, as well as the start time, as well as your setup, richmond.sto. Well, Johnny, do you have anything else you want to add? Because we're coming to the end of the broadcast. I'm going to give you any shout outs.
I appreciate you having me on. I hope I did halfway decent. I'm no speaker for sure, but.
There's no rules. Actually, one of the shortest podcasts I did was with Justin Clapper. He was Zane Smith's tire changer in the truck series last year. And we just got through everything we had to talk about in like 30 or 40 minutes. The longest one I did was with the grandson of the guy who beat Dale Sr. on the last lap of the Daytona 500, and that's the only win that team got. And his grandson is still good friends with Dale Jr., and that talk went on for about 2.5 hours. So,
oh, Lord.
It was great. We started looking at the clock, and I said, you know what time it is? And he goes, well, we started at 8. I go, yeah, it's 10:45. He goes, I got to go to bed.
So, yes, for sure.
Yeah, so there's no rule. Go ahead.
And real quick, may I tell you, Nick Larson, he has been so fast this year, our other teammate.
Yes.
He's having luck like I did last year. I was so fast last year in different tracks, and it's – just bad luck kept hitting me and hitting me and hitting me.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And that's how it's not going to be long. Nick's going to be in victory lane. I know that. He is so fast right now.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Oh, I think the individual you were talking about that left was our friend across the pond.
Yep. That's him.
Okay. Yep.
I still can't. I'm trying to think of his name, but
Al Reed.
No, not Al.
Oh, it wasn't Al.
No, but this guy was from across the pond, too. I can't remember his name.
Okay. So, yeah, I still talk to Al every once in a while. He still listens to the podcast because he saw that we changed the name. He goes, you still doing it? I go, yeah, I just changed the name to be a little more general. instead of just Joe Sixpack Racing. So it's called the Sim Racing Podcast, and you know, featuring the 802 Cup Series that we do every week here. Well, Johnny, I want to thank you for stopping in. I didn't get too many secrets, so we'll have to have you back on and catch you. Oh, maybe I'll talk to you right in the middle of your 115 heat index work day. Maybe you'll get slip some secrets out then.
Yeah, I tell too many secrets. They kick me off the team. So
there you go. All right. All right, Johnny. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for being an excellent driver out there and perfect gentleman to race with. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for stopping by tonight.
Well, I thank you for having me, and all the admins and Rob and all of them for running it. It's, like I said, I love this league, and
yep.
I hope we can continue to get it growing.
Okay, well, we'll see you on the practice, or we'll run into you Sunday, figuratively, not literally.
Right, thank you.
All right, have a good night. That was Johnny Barker from Wolfpack Racing, driver of car number 6. Our first two-time winner, back-to-back winner, season 3. He won in Kentucky, and he won last night. And talking about his season last year, where he was just out there turning laps like crazy and just having all sorts of bad luck, getting wrecked or just not able to put it through. But it's frustrating, and it does happen. So let's take a look. Where are we here? This weekend, Richmond Raceway, and it is Toontown. Don't forget to paint your car in your favorite cartoon scheme, your cartoon character. I know Jason from Signature Esports always looked forward to that in the other leagues. There's some pretty creative stuff out there. And again, it can be a cartoon from a cereal box, a comic book, TV, movie, anything you like. And in closing, I just want to say you've been listening to, and thank you for listening to, the Sim Racing Podcast with yours truly, Greg Dreis. Right now, we are live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. It'll stay there for 2 weeks, and then they throw it out. But we will live in infamy on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google Podcast, and about a dozen other podcast platforms. Season 3 of the 802 Cup Series, like I said, is sponsored by Riptide Radio. Thank you to Jeff Barefoot. Riptide Radio, Carolina Shag, you got to listen to it. If you understand what Margaritaville is, this is a different type of Margaritaville. It's just really good. It's the music you put on when I'm sitting out back on my patio, and after listening to reggae and other, you know, the rest of the family comes out, doesn't like reggae, I'll turn on the Carolina Shag on a Sunday afternoon. Sit back, have a couple drinks in the sun, and watch my little goldfish pond and the waterfall and the bright blue skies, and listening to some jazz, some soul, Motown. So take a listen. It's like Jeff Barefoot said, Carolina Shag is a lifestyle. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And again, if you want to join the league, we are recruiting. Sign up on iRacing Leagues. You can mention our Facebook group at 802 iRacing Leagues. Until then, actually until Thursday night, we go back to the Sim Racing Podcast, where we'll have the Midwest Racing League on, a couple of brothers. Really looking forward to working with them Thursday night. So Thursday night, 8 p.m. right here, twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. The Sim Racing Podcast with the Midwest Racing League. Until then, have yourselves a good night. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the track.